Thanks, guys. Morning. It's lovely to come and do this. That's great. Do you know, sometimes when you read things in the Bible, they are just too unbelievable. I don't know about you, but when I read things, sometimes I just think, no way. Just no way. No way. Is that just me? Yeah, you can talk to me, but it's cool. You know me. Hello. You just think, no way. That's like unbelievable. It just seems too far out. It just seems too difficult to comprehend and understand. And it just doesn't seem to make sense. It just seems unbelievable. And our passage today contains one of those verses. In Luke chapter 6, verse 27, it says, love your enemies. Three simple words. But you put them together and you are in a whole world of trouble. I've been in a whole world of trouble for the last few weeks too. Three little words, but they just seem to be the opposite. They just seem to not be normal, not be natural, and they go against the flow. And I guess really that Jesus is like that though, isn't he? Kind of just doesn't do what you expect, or maybe totally against the flow, or something is just a surprise. Sometimes when you read the Bible and you think, wow, is that really the case? Is that really what it's about? Sorry, that was supposed to go up before. But you know, Jesus's message is a message of transformation, isn't it? Throughout all the Gospels, whenever you read it, it is a message of transformation. Let's put number two on so that we don't get distracted by that. Do you know, Paul in the book of Acts, if you were here last Sunday morning when the Hibbert's family led the chaos that was the enactment of Acts chapter 2 and the Holy Spirit coming, I just think they weren't wrong when they said that the Holy Spirit turns things upside down. And I just think sometimes that Jesus's message of transformation, they were not wrong when they were talking of what Jesus does. Those three little words, love your enemies. They are incredible. They are powerful. They demonstrate the character of Christ, the merciful nature of God, and the intention for the church. We've got 10 minutes. So, are you ready? Let's go. I just think those three little words are remarkable. Love your enemies. Do you know, throughout the whole book of Luke, I wonder if you have read it cover to cover over these next few weeks. Maybe you have already as we've been going through this series. I think the whole book, I think Luke is quite bold. He doesn't seem to shy away from some of the hard lessons of life. And I would say, in the commentaries I've read over the last couple of weeks about this, but Luke had a particular emphasis in his record. I think he would be saying that Jesus comes for all people, not just the Jews, comes for all people. Love your enemies. Jesus, throughout the book of Luke, is displayed Jesus having a particular concern for women, for the poor, and for outcasts. Love your enemies. I think the book shows Jesus as God's Spirit-led Son who came to offer eternal life to all who would follow him. Love your enemies. As we continue this morning in the series in the book of Luke, you can see some of the titles there that have gone and are coming. Walking His way. And if you get your Bibles out, and we'll flick through a few verses as we go. I think in this whole section, it's quite a big chunk that Ian read out earlier. And it starts off with a good few miracles. He knows how to draw a crowd. There's a big crowd and they get straight on with the job. Few miracles, few deliverance, healings, whatever's going on. Maybe Luke does that, writes about that because that's his interest. He's a doctor. That's what he wants to kind of make sure is going on. But I like it because he starts loud and proud. Good bit of miracles to begin with. And then we move quickly on into verses 20 to 23. The blessings, blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of God. I love reading those verses. We had a great series on that last year. And I think if you want to go and listen to that, it's all still there on the website. And then we've got the section from 24 down to 26, the woes. A little bit uncomfortable reading. A little bit uncomfortable because some of those are a little bit close to us, a bit close to the truth perhaps, a bit close to what's going on. And then verse 27 and that section there to 36, then comes the bombshell. Love your enemies. Actively, generously and graciously. Love them actively, love them generously, love them graciously. And don't just do it once. Keep going. And if you want to put a number on it, 70 times 70 times 70 times 70 times 70. Actively, generously, graciously. I think in this whole book of Luke, the message gets across that Jesus' words and actions bring a completely new outlook on life. They are totally transforming. That is the good news. That is the good news as believers in Jesus, as disciples of Christ, as Christians. That is, in its essence, the good news throughout Luke's gospel. Read it cover to cover, immerse yourself in it again. But let's dive into that little verse, those three little words, a little bit more. Love your enemies. Now, I've got my father-in-law and my mother-in-law here this weekend, and the dinner's in the oven, so we got to get going. But in the lounge last night, after we'd watched Billy Elliot, which is a great film, there was a big theological discussion about, because you know, obviously, John, my father-in-law, is retired now, Methodist minister of many years. And John Athern, my dear husband, of course, is always the first to tell me that he was the one that got his exams in Sunday school. Exams in Sunday school. I'm way too young to appreciate that. Anyway, but he knows. So they were having a big theological discussion last night about, in the Old Testament, it's more about that sort of retaliation, you know, kind of quite disproportionate when you think about it. But, you know, for example, if a person was killed, then the retaliation would be, well, kill the whole tribe. And there's loads of that in the Old Testament. So it's all about revenge and stuff like that. Retaliation. And then it kind of moves a bit as we get into the New Testament, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, but we kind of move on to turning the other cheek and give them the other cheek. And if they slap you there, let them slap you there too. And that kind of, you know, forgiveness. And I think that's kind of moved from the retaliation. But as we move into the new covenant of the Gospels, the new covenant of Jesus, we see a total paradigm shift. A total radical change. It's not proportionate or even disproportionate retaliation anymore. It's not a moderate response to righting wrongs. It's move from response to love. It's an action. It's not just I'll forgive you. It's an action and I will keep praying for you. Love your enemies. Through prayer and by the transforming power of the Holy Spirit working in a believer, turning that revenge that we read about in the Old Testament into love, into word, and into action. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. What did Jesus say when he was on the cross? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. It's active. It's a physical response. It's not just a begrudging forgiveness. It's an active, a purposeful, an intentional, a relational. It's not just a one-off. It's continual. Love your enemies. Verse 35 says, love your enemies. Do good to them. And lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Love your enemies. Do you know, sometimes I think when I'm teaching at work, and it's a difficult concept to understand or whatever, I just try and look at it through different eyes, through kind of different ways to try and get a different slant on it. And if I can get it all out in time, it's rather like putting your 3D glasses on. I don't think I can read my notes much more with these glasses on, actually. You're all turned into a blur. Do you know how they film 3D? You know how they film 3D? So, Anthony does. I didn't know until last night. Very interesting conversation in our lounge last night. But apparently, how you film 3D is you do it with two different cameras. So you get two different perspectives, and then you bring them together, and that's why you wear the glasses, and the glasses put the two different perspectives together so your eyes and your brain can then make sense of it. Yeah? You learn something at church every time you come. Isn't that remarkable? Anyway, we digress. But maybe if we look at this passage with our perspective lens on, I think we should always come to the Bible, and whatever passage we're looking at, we should always try and understand something of the culture, the context. We should look at what's happened before, the pretext. We should look at the situation and what's going on around at the time. But I wonder if this morning you can put your perspective glasses on, and even something you've perhaps read thousands and thousands of times, you can get something new out of it this morning. I don't know about you, but have you ever driven a car towing a caravan? Yeah, cool. So I very nearly showed you a clip from Top Gear. I don't know if you're particularly fond of that program, but I decided I might get told off if I did. So if you can go and Google it later. But the Top Gear caravan section is very, very funny. And then I thought I would display an example of my own skills, but I thought I'd leave that to your imagination. But essentially, what you are taught when you learn to drive a car towing a caravan is that you need to be able to look behind you. You need to be able to look right behind, so not just the car, but right behind. So, and you get one of these, which you kind of fix on to your, here we go, there's a very good demonstration photo. So you can fix that on to your mirror, and it gives you an extra mirror, so you can see right round, a bit further round, if you didn't know what that was. So this is your looking back lens. And if we were to employ the looking back lens on our passage this morning, Jesus directly responds to that, and he says, don't look back. Don't look behind you, because that doesn't matter. Verse 35, it says, but love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. So you forgive them, you pray for them, and you keep going forward. You forgive them and you pray for them again, and you keep going forward. You don't look behind you. You don't look for your reward behind you. You don't look for their response behind you. You just keep going. You just keep going. You're looking back lens. We need to love without looking back sometimes. Not waiting for the reward or anything else. To love, to give, to forgive, to put a cake on the doorstep, whatever it may be, and to keep moving forward. So maybe the other lens we need to look in our passage this morning is the leadership lens. And I know you think I look particular. I can actually see and do this with these on. These are my very fetching sunglasses, which I think are particularly cool. Ellen, my daughter, and I often play this game where you have to see if you can see if your eyes are open or shut when you've got your sunglasses on, because you can't see your eyes. Does anyone else play that? No. Okay, moving on. So dark glasses then, and the reason I've chosen them to wear them this morning to look through this is that you can't see my eyes through them. The leadership lens, you can't see my eyes because it's not about me. It's not about me. Love your enemies. Luke is saying in our passage to go above and beyond, to go the extra mile. Don't just love, but forgive and pray and do it actively, do it decisively, do it purposefully, do it intentionally, and do it again and again and again and again and again and again. It is a behavior we need to learn, but it's actually not about me. We can use our leadership lenses to look at role models too, to see how other people love their enemies. And I think those words are often quite provocative, and it's very difficult sometimes even to love those you love sometimes. But God is love, and love is God. I've got a couple of clips for you, which hopefully we'll get on the screen. The first one is following the shootings in Christchurch. Here we go.
I lost my wife, but I don't hate the leader. It's a person I love, but I'm sorry, I cannot support what he did. But I think somewhere along in his life, maybe he was hurt, but he could not translate that hurt into a positive manner.
There you go, thank you. And that was Farid Ahmed, who survived the Christchurch massacre a few months ago. His wife was killed by the gunman, and she ran back, basically, to help her husband, who you've just seen, who was in a wheelchair, and she got shot as she ran to help him. And that is the attitude of her husband. I just find that remarkable. That's amazing. You can see the character of Christ in him. That's incredible. I've got another example for you from Nadine Coulsdon in the Charleston killing. Hopefully we've got that on too, if we can show that clip. There you go.
The suspect in the Charleston church killings has faced the families of some of the 9 victims during his first court appearance on Friday. Dylan Roof listened as one by one they called on God to forgive him for the murders.
I would never forgive them all right then, but I forgive you.
So those were the words spoken by Nadine Collier 2 days after Dylan Roof walked into her church in Charleston and gunned down her mother and 8 of her friends during a Bible study. The world witnessed this costly offer of forgiveness as they were spoken during a victim impact statement and broadcast on national and international television. The raw emotional impact of grace being offered to someone so undeservingly rocked all who saw it. And you know what? If you were to Google or iPlayer or YouTube, there are loads of these examples. They are incredible role models. incredible, powerful testimonies. I wonder if we would be that strong. I would be that strong amidst devastation, amidst loss, so much immense pain. I just wonder, 2 days after it, if that would be our response. Such faith is quite remarkable. It's quite unbelievable. Such strength and such faith. Love your enemies. These are my glasses. And it's amazing, actually, isn't it, when you put your glasses on, if those of you who wear glasses. When I was 14, I was diagnosed with an astigmatism. And because I was 14 at the time, I did not wear my glasses. And I'm pleased to say that it sort of corrected itself. Sadly, in my 40s, reading has become a particular challenge. So I now wear my glasses for that. And it's amazing, isn't it, when you put your glasses on and it all seems bigger somehow and clearer. And I think these glasses remind us to see things how Jesus would see them. If we use Jesus's eyes to love our enemies, to see things as Jesus sees them, maybe we would see it a little bit clearer. So put your Jesus lens on. Ask him to help you see things as he sees them. Your compassion, his guidance, his wisdom. Your Jesus lenses. I suppose failing that, you could always go for your comedy lenses. And these particular ones, if you go on to there. So this week, I texted a couple of friends and I said, have you got any of those comedy glasses? And it would be really helpful for my talk today. And they texted me photos back. They should know me by now that I would use their photos. But you can clearly see there, Catherine, who actually has two pairs, maybe more. And that's Debbie. And you would know that Debbie's have got to be orange. And I did ask Robin Webb as well, and because I just knew the three of them in their cupboard somewhere would have these comedy glasses. And Robin was very sensible because he said, yes, I'll just bring them for you on Sunday. So we did have a bit of fun at that over at the other site earlier. That has absolutely nothing to do with the talk, by the way. Maybe what we need to do then is to put on our... Do you want to go to the next slide? Because they're lovely, but it's off-putting, isn't it? Maybe what we need to do is to put on our perspective lenses to make sure we understand the context, the pretext, the culture of the book of Luke. To maybe on this Father's Day, this afternoon, to sit with a cup of tea and read it cover to cover. To read a bit around it, to get some commentaries and understand the perspective of Luke. But what we don't want to do is to use our looking back lens. Because we're specifically told in this passage this morning to not look back, to not look behind. What will people think? What will they say if I do this, if I don't do this? It says in those verses, love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. You've been told now, so just face forward and don't look back. Keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith, to run the race, to win the prize which God has called you heavenwards in Christ Jesus. Verse 35 reminds us of that. Love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. Maybe you need to get your leadership lens on to search out those role models. There's so many examples out there, from Martin Luther and Mandela to those up-to-date ones like Christchurch and Sri Lanka that we've seen. But I hope today you will put your love your enemy lenses on. You will see it with his eyes. Jesus' eyes make it clearer. Love your enemies. So how do we respond? Love your enemies. We need to be purposeful, intentional, and relational. Disciples or followers of Jesus. In the small things of our everyday lives, to look out for opportunities to pray, to love, to show the mercy of God to all we meet. To show the character of his forgiveness and the opportunity of new life. Maybe in the big things of life, to watch out for those role models. When disaster strikes, who publicly declare God's forgiveness and thank God for them. Thank God for their boldness, for their courage, for their conviction. Love your enemies. But for me, for us now, maybe let's just make a commitment to God and to each other to start with me, that I might show the kindness of God even when no one is looking. To actively seek out opportunities to bless other people. Because be assured, your reward is great in heaven. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High. Be merciful, as your Father is merciful. The band are going to come back up, we're going to sing, we're going to end, and there will be opportunity to pray over here. But I hope this morning, maybe just looking at these verses with perhaps a slightly different take on it, a different perspective, just might help us understand and explore a little bit more how to love our enemies. Shall we pray together? Oh God. God, would you help us see our enemies as you would see them? God, that we would be people known for showing the mercy of God, your kindness, your forgiveness, and your grace. Because you show that to us. God, there is nothing so broken that Jesus can't fix. There is nothing so dirty that Jesus can't clean. Do you know there is nothing so far gone that Jesus can't say, bring it back to me? Do you know we are never out of the reach of the arms and the eyes of the love of God. And I am so thankful that that is the God that I believe in. promise is true. Your love is right. Your grace is sufficient. God, would you help us day by day by day to be so filled with your Holy Spirit that we would have your courage to love our enemies, to pray for those who persecute us, to live in your grace, to walk in your steps, and to follow you closely, day by day by day. Thank you.